Hey, a quick announcement before we jump in tonight. I'm going to invite my buddy Nathan over here. Hi, Nate. How are you?
Hi.
Hi.
You're a lot taller.
I am a lot taller. I'm going to invite Nathan over here. Sorry, I used to work at a hotel because I didn't want to intimidate the guests. So I stood like this behind and they didn't know. They just thought I was normal. I have a fun announcement. I'm not going to be silly anymore with my legs. Okay, so I have some good news and some bad news. Do you want the good news or the bad news first? Yes. The good news is that God has blessed this man with an incredible gift. I mean, you can't argue with that. And if you want to argue with it, I'll win that argument in a heartbeat. And we have a man who is gifted and talented and skilled beyond music. Nathan's been a pastor on our team for a couple of years now and has done an incredible job leading that team and developing just, man, you know, everything behind the scenes that you guys don't even notice. This dude's a pastor and a shepherd. That was the bad news. The good news is, that wasn't funny at all. I didn't think about that before. But the good news is actually, and we really are celebrating this, God has given this man an incredible opportunity that he's going to chase after. There's a church not too far down from here called Generation Church, which just so happens to be looking for a main worship pastor, and they've found their man in Nathan Del Turco. And so Nathan and Stacy are going to be leaving us, and we are going to hurt and hate them a little bit for that, just for, you know, in those moments. But then celebrate the fact that God has absolutely had this position in mind for him since the day you were born, and he's got something beautiful in front of him. So, and there's no behind-the-scenes story, because you're church folk, and you're like, oh, I bet there's some drama. Like, does Ryan hate his beard? No, I'm jealous of it, but we genuinely love this man. It's been a genuine just gift, and it's just been really good to work with you, man. And you guys, I know we're going to miss him. We get one more weekend with him. He's going to be back up here next weekend, and then the next weekend, he will not be here with us, but they'll be starting their new journey at Generation, right? Yeah. There's just no fun, easy way to do this, because it hurts to lose you, but it's exciting to, like, send you off. And so I thought we'd pray, and then we get another week to spend with this guy, and you can say your goodbyes and show your appreciation. So can we pray with Nathan? Father, I pause in these moments. It's hard to remember everything, to even measure how much you've done and through his ministry to each and every one of us, how you've used him and his gift. We're going to miss him dearly. We're gospel people, and this is what happens. You move the pieces on the board wherever you want to accomplish your will, and so we trust you. We have faith that you know exactly what you're doing in Nathan and Stacy's life. And so we send them, we applaud and we clap and we cheer and we trust you to use them in a mighty way. We know you will. We love this man. Thank you for loving him more than we ever could. In Jesus' name, amen. Hugs, baby. Come here. Say thanks to Nathan, please. So, I don't like goodbyes, but I'm really genuinely excited about that. It's such a cool, amazing opportunity. Hear this, and he would want to say this to you. That dude loves you guys. Like, he has been a pastor. Sometimes with musicians or really talented people, you like deal with the fact that they're not a really nice person because they're really good at what they do. We've had sort of a win-win with Nathan. He's been incredibly good at what he does, and there's nobody that questions whether or not like he cares about him. And so become that kind of man. You're a marker for me. I'm following you and your example you've set. And so here we go. We're gonna dive in. You ready? There's still good news tonight. We're gonna circle around. When I get to open God's Word, it hit me this week. Like it feels like I just get to spend some time with the Lord. It's like when I maybe wake up in the morning or spend some time at night, it almost sets up like an appointment. You know, like you can call it like in these days like a Skype session. You just get to connect. You get to sit down and hear from the Lord. And so tonight in Philippians 3, if you're new, I'm gonna catch you up a little bit. Paul is a man who lived 2,000 years ago, had his life radically transformed by Jesus, went around telling everybody about Jesus. He was what we call a missionary, all right? But he spent his life doing it, not just a couple of years or three or four. He went 10,000 miles for Jesus on foot, sometimes on a boat, and he plants all these churches. He rolls into cities, tells them about Jesus. Their lives are changed. The gospel takes root. Churches form like this. And then he leaves, and Philippi is one of the cities he visits. and Philippians is the letter written to Philippi, okay? And he's absolutely in love with this church. And so finally in chapter 3, you've seen a handful of these things on coffee mugs and posters and inspirational websites and Instagrams. Like 3 and 4, you're going to see all these little quotes that like anybody and everybody's going to drop them and say, yeah, that's beautiful. I'm gonna quote that. So Philippians 3, he's going to say the word finally as though he's done, but he's still got like 40% of the letter still to go. So like a good pastor, he's like, all right, my last point, and then he talks for another 30 minutes. So in verse 1 of chapter 3, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. That's good news. He's like, be happy, all right? So that's a good rule. If you're a sort of mopey all the time Christian, you might be going through some stuff, but maybe you're thinking about the wrong things. Maybe you don't, he's just going, hey, rejoice in the Lord. Like, be happy. Like, tell your face. Like, oh, I love the Lord. Well, okay, something's wrong here. But Paul's just going, no, rejoice in the Lord. Elsewhere, he's going to tell you how to mourn. He's going to show you how to feel everything. But he's going, hey, man, there should be some joy involved in your life. And he goes, it's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it's a safeguard for you. He's like, just listen. And then he's like, hey, watch out for those dogs. He's talking about a group of men. Watch out for those dogs. Jesus would also call some people dogs once in a while too. He's like, don't give the dogs these beautiful pearls. And we'll talk about that another time, but Paul's mean for a moment. He's like, watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. And I'm gonna spend about 8 seconds on this point with you because it's not the point tonight. But he's like, hey, there's a group of men around you right now in this community that he's writing to, and he's going, these men are dogs. Not like, oh, he dumped her without calling her. No, these men are vicious strays that are coming in trying to bite you is kind of what his picture is. And he says, watch out for them. What are they trying to do? They're trying to teach you how to be religious. They're trying to tell you that there's something you need to do with like your physical flesh to please God. And for them, it was circumcision. All right, so they would call themselves like the circumcision group or the circumcision people. Circumcision back in the day, you just need to know this. Weird, whatever, like soak it in, okay? 2,000 years ago, Jesus hits the scene. To be a religious and devout man, to be a man of God, you had to be marked. And the way they did that is on the 8th day, they did some surgery on baby, okay? And if you heard the news late, sucks to be you. You're a 30-year-old man and you want to convert to Judaism? All right, anyway, so it's a bummer. So he tells these men, watch out for these, and he's like sarcastic. He's like, these mutilators of the flesh. Why? Because Paul, throughout Scripture, doesn't care about what's happening on the outside if what's happening on the inside isn't primary. You with me? Are you there? So Paul's saying, don't focus on what's happening on the outside, what you can see. Paul's going, no. There's something internal I want you to look at. So he says this, for it is we who are the circumcision. We, and then he says, why? Who worship by the Spirit of God. It's not external, it's internal. Spirit of God, meaning this isn't a ritual, right? We who glory, where do we glory? Where do we have all our hope? In Christ Jesus. So he's like their only hope. And who put no confidence in the flesh, in their abilities or what they've done with their bodies, whatever. He's like, I got no confidence in my flesh. Though, look at verse 4. He's like, I myself have reasons for such confidence. So Paul's about to brag, but before we get there, let's zoom out on this. This is important for you. You might have inherited like a Judaish sort of version of Christianity, and I want to point this out to you real fast. 1 through 3 are all about the external versus the internal. All right, flip like a page. Go to Colossians 2, maybe 2 pages if you have like a really big Bible. Colossians 2, same guy writes to a different city exactly what he means by this external, internal circumcision thing. Because Paul goes, hey, they're not the circumcision. We are. It happened inside, right? All right, so Colossians 2, it says this in verse 9. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So everything God is, you can find in the man Christ, all right? And you who have been given fullness, so there's fullness of the deity in Christ, and now you in Christ have fullness. Because he's the head over every power and authority. In him, in Christ, you were also circumcised. And they're like, no, we weren't. Oh, something else. You were circumcised. Like, did I fall asleep? No, in the putting off of the sinful nature. He's like, stop messing with the skin. Let's get into your heart, all right? So you took your old self and removed it, it says, right? In Christ, that was taken away. And then he clarifies, hey, in case you're slow, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, the doctor, or the guy that just so happened to have the flank, but with the circumcision done by Christ. And then it assumes this about you. Having been, you, buried with him in baptism, so that's happened. It's literal. He's going, look, you were buried with him symbolically in baptism and raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. He's like, all right, you don't get it. Stop talking about outside. Let's go inside. We need to go there together. You and I need to go there together. Like, because I have a Christian resume. I have all these things that one day I could show Jesus, like, look what I did. I've been a pastor since some of you were in diapers, right? Like, I've been not just a pastor, a youth pastor, all right? There should be some crown, all right? Because there's an extra level of patience we carry, okay? Twitter, all right? There's all sorts of things I could brag about, but that would be silly, because Paul's like varsity Christian if there ever was one. And so Paul, for the like one of the few times in scripture, he gets kind of, what's the word you kids use? Swagalicious, I think, right? All right, so I'm 35 years old. I'm not even trying. I'm making fun of you. He says, look, I've got some reasons for such confidence. What's he talking about? He's going, you want to talk about what you can do? You want to talk about your resume? You want to talk about all your accomplishments? You want to talk about the markers of your faith? All right, let's party. If anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, let me define flesh this way. Whatever you do apart from Christ, it's man. Flesh is man outside of Christ. So it's a weird word. Whatever you do that doesn't have anything to do with Christ, all your actions, all right, if you think you got something going for you, how many sit-ups can you do? How many push-ups can you do? Whatever. How many Bible studies you been to? How many summer camps you been to? It's kind of what he's going after. And he goes, I have more. Right at the end of verse 4, he's like, I've got more. Watch him. Circumcised on the eighth day, so check, of the people of Israel. Oh, so he's of the people of God. Check, got it. Oh, not just of the people of God. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'll spare you the Bible study. That's a really good thing. The tribe of Benjamin's basically the one tribe that didn't blow it ultimately over and over and over again. They were faithful. So I don't know what your family's like or what your club or your sport or your team is like. The tribe of Benjamin made everyone else go, oh man, he's here. Like that kind of thing. Like a Hebrew of Hebrews. I don't know what your parents are like. Paul goes, both of mine in the line. Ooh, I like that. He goes, my parents were both Hebrews. I got lineage, man. In regard to the law, the 613 commandments in the Old Testament that you blow every day, and I do too. Oh, welcome that. In regard to that, I was a Pharisee. Varsity. As for zeal, like did I have any passion or was I just the bump on a log falling asleep at 6 o'clock service? Persecuting the church. She's like, I'm all over it. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Paul goes, you want to play that game? You want to play that game? Like, do you know anyone like this? Probably not. Like, there's nothing like this. There's no man that could look at his resume and just trump everyone else. Like, do you know anyone with, like, a trophy room? Do you have, like, a dad or a grandpa? They have a man cave or something? Like, this dude cut me off the other day, and I was like, hey! And then he had a purple heart, and I was like, that's cool! Right? I was like, forget it, just keep going. Because I was like, dang, dude's got a purple heart. Do you have any idea what that means? He was wounded in battle during a war? Okay. Hero. Cut everyone off if you want to. Thank you for your service. But like, you know the guy with the trophy room, right? Every school has one or really, 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 really wants one, right? Sons have got a lot of banners, like Pizza Hut, Domino's, no championships. Paul's like, you want to step into my trophy room? You want to talk about what I've done for Jesus? You want to talk about how holy I am? Like the equivalent for you would be like, I was baptized when I was 4, 6, and 9. And I gave my life to Christ my 7th grade year, 8th grade, recommitted, 9th grade, recommitted. I went to Mexico with the junior high ministry. I served at the hospital while I was in the hospital after getting hit by a car and bit by a shark, I don't know. Like, and then I went to Africa and Mexico and Guatemala and Fiji. I served in children's ministry at the church week in, week out. I was student class that thing, and I, right, you've got some of you, like I know how competitive it is. I met with a guy this week that's trying to get into medical school. He has to have like 700 community service hours by May. And I was like, dude, there's not even that many hours between now and May. You've got to start, man. But I know what it's like for you to like try to have that resume or try to have that cover letter or try to have that qualification to get into the thing. And that's exhausting. But Paul goes, yeah, I'm exhausted because I've got it. And then he goes, look, in case you're thinking Paul's some snotty girl that you wouldn't want to be around, right? Like, because we hate arrogant people, right? Like, you should hate yourself the most in that regard. Like, I hate arrogance, especially mine. Paul's like, hey, but listen about all that. I hate to brag, but I think he's just using, like, tough love. Verse 7, but whatever was to my profit, understand that phrase, whatever was to my profit, whatever was helping me to gain stature, reputation, he's like, I now consider it loss. It was in the way for the sake of Christ. He's like, whatever was in my profit, I now consider loss. Whatever was in my profit, I now consider loss. Like, he was like, whatever I felt like I was trusting in, whatever was my thing that was more ultimate than Christ, it was in the way. Whatever I was bragging about, whatever I was proud of, whatever I could point to, this is huge. I think now, looking back, it was just a loss because it was distracting me. He says, I now consider it loss. Why? For the sake of Christ. He's like, I had this stuff over here, but for the sake of Christ, man, all that stuff was just kind of in the way. It was good in itself, but it was in the way. What is more, and then you've seen this, I consider everything a loss compared, and this is Paul, to the surpassing greatness of, circle this, knowing Christ. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. And he goes, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. For him to know Christ isn't like, oh yeah, Jesus Christ, you know, he was a prophet, I think. Like, he knew Christ, like he knew his Bible really, really well. But for him, this knowing, we have to understand Paul, like, knew him. Like an intimate comprehension of Christ. He goes, look, everything else, the pile, all the good stuff, Paul says to the Philippians and to us, it's great or not. Like, it's just in the way. Man, look at Jesus. Like, yeah, cool, that's great. Yeah, the church and the log, right on. But, oh my gosh, you are surpassingly better than all of that. I can't wrap my mind around Paul. Watch him finish this letter. He says, I consider them rubbish. That word means, like, and I've told you this before in the past, like, it means fecal matter. Like, he's like, everything else compared to Christ is like dog poop. Like, he loves the world. He loves, God created it good. He's like, but you try to compare the best everything on the planet compared to Christ. And he's like, eh, gross, man. It's like something you stepped in that you're bummed about, right? He's like, I just consider it, and that's the word rubbish. Rubbish, thanks, NIV. I consider it rubbish. And here's why, that I might gain Christ. That's beautiful. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. He's like, I just want Christ. I don't want my list that shows you how good I am with God. I just want God. All I want is Christ. So Paul goes, I've got a great list that I could point to and go, there's my righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with God. There's the reason that I can stand in front of God. There's all the stuff that I've done. There's my resume. He's like, I don't want that. I just want Christ. For Paul, the prize of chasing Jesus was Jesus. Like, it was exceedingly better than anything Jesus could have been like, oh, good boy, here you go. Like, no matter what was going on in any situation, he's like, good stuff, bad stuff, whatever, where's Christ? I want him and I want more of him. Watch this, I love this. This is so familiar, but so kind of convicting and encouraging at the same time. He says, I want, in verse 10, I want to know, do you need like a life verse? I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And he even adds the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. So there's still currently some sort of power in that thing. And the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. He's like, I want to connect with him there too. I want to become like him in his death. And somehow, he's like, somehow to attain resurrection from the dead. Man, there's so much here, but the part that's stringing me tonight is like, how is Paul saying, I want to, like he doesn't, know Christ? Like, is Paul in this moment like discontent as a Christian? All right, in your heart right now, do you sense any sort of discontentment in your faith? A little, where are you, God? Like, Paul was just rolling on, I think, a horse. I'm assuming he was on a horse. He was rolling into a city named Damascus. What happens? The literal risen Christ, Jesus Christ, the one who died, 3 days later came back to life, ascended into heaven, appears to Paul. This is Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22. You can see these accounts. Paul the apostle, a Jewish zealous persecutor of the church, as he's already, like, this is a man who, scripture says, and he says it himself in Acts 22, it's his own telling of the story. I met Jesus face to face, and I was transformed by Jesus face to face, and everything that I have to say to you was given to me directly by revelation from Jesus. I have this for you. Paul, the prophet, the apostle, said, everything I got it hard line tapped in. This wasn't Wi-Fi. This is plugged right into the Lord. He gave me 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Colossians, Ephesians, Galatians, 1 Thessalonians. I got that directly from Jesus. We sat down. He just put it right on my pen, and I said, thank you very much, Lord. And when it wasn't from him, I went, hey, this isn't from him. This is just me thinking out loud. This is crazy. I don't have that. I've had some moments. I've had some like tear-jerking moments where I'm like, Lord, you're like sitting with me. I have not written scripture. I've had some moments. I've had some like, woo! Like when I gave my life to Christ in 2001, I literally found myself, and I don't remember how I got there, standing on a table. I'm like, I don't know why I'm here, but I was shouting and like cheering that God had saved me, right? I felt like I could fly, but I didn't try. R. Kelly was lying, right? I could not fly. I was just whoa, jacked. But never have I ever healed anyone with a hanky. Right? Anyone reading their Bible would know that in Acts chapter 19, one of my favorite chapters in scripture, there's this little part in there that says that Paul was walking through the crowd, and he had such great, like, not just like swagger, like just presence, like, oh, here comes Paul. It says that God was using him in such a unique way that people were like mesmerized by him, but not just mesmerized, like, wow, powerful. Like, people could like reach out and touch his handkerchief, it says in Acts chapter 19, and they'd be healed because they had faith in this prophet of God, and they were like, hanky, healed. I don't have it. I got nothing, man. Like, is anyone sick? Try some of my Burt's Bees. Did you have a cold or a flu? Like, right? I'm making fun of me because I'm nowhere near Paul. And so if I ever feel like I've got God figured out, I've heard this sermon before. If you ever have that sort of heart, like if you ever feel like I've got God figured out, I got the gospel figured out, I'm bored of Christianity. Paul, the apostle, would go, what? Are you stupid? Are serious? That's to the Galatians, he would say that. To the Philippians, he'd be like, silly. He knows Christ. He knows him. He knows him more than you will probably ever know him. He knows everything about him, but he's like, I want to know him. Like, more? You're almost greedy, but Jesus is like, come and get some more. Because there's more to me than you can ever imagine. Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3, I believe it is, says that knowing Christ leads to all the riches and treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's like, yo, look in here. There's more for you to see and understand than you'll. One of my first sermons, I looked at the pastor that taught me how to teach in my early years, and I was like, dude, don't you run out of things to say? And he's like, you don't even get it. You don't even get it. You're talking about the infinite. Do you know God? And I'm like, yeah, you were there. Like, right? But don't you run out of stuff to say on a stage? And he's like, you don't even know God. I'm like, okay, I'll go back to my desk. But Paul is discontent because he wants more. And I'll take you to Romans 6, and we'll end here. Romans 6 is going to go to the left. Romans 6. More of what? This holy hanky man wants more stuff. Romans 6, it's going to show you what it looks like to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Let's be real brief with 6. You can read this on your own. But look, let's just go to Romans chapter 6, 4. We were, therefore, there it is again, buried with him through baptism. Like, some of you need to be baptized. Some of you, for whatever reason, you've been holding out. You said yes to Christ. There is no Jesus in the water. You don't find Christ in the water. Like, hello? Like, you don't get saved in the water, all right? We can sit down and do some coffee about that. There's pastors that disagree with me on that, and that's fine. But I'm just saying it's symbolic. It's going, don't you know, look at verse, let's go back to 3. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him. So it's as though you died. We were therefore buried with him, because you can't get buried without dying unless something crazy happens afterwards, with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too, and here it is, here's the whole point, may live a new life. And that's why Paul says, like, I want to be with him like him in his death, because there's a part of you that's got to die. It's the old you. And it's the old me, so that you can come to this new life and this new beauty and all of this stuff that Paul is experiencing and inviting us into. And he's going, look, Christ is supreme to all of that. He's just better. Jesus is better. He's just better than whatever you got. He's better than any relationship. He's better than anything. That's just it. It's just beautiful. And he's not like, ew, all that stuff is disgusting. He's like, look, appreciate and enjoy that stuff because I gave it to you as a gift, but never put it above me. Don't elevate gift above giver. My fear is, like, tonight, some of you know Jesus the way I know Kanye. You know Kanye? Yeah. I was just on his Twitter feed today. I poked around and I saw, you know, he grew up in Chicago. Did you know that? He follows one person. Who does he follow? That was fast, girl. Kim Kardashian. Yeah. Like, I've heard a couple of his songs. One, I was like, oh, that one's about Jesus. Oh, that's not about Jesus at all. I know a little bit about Kanye. Like, I can look him up on Wikipedia, on his website. I pulled up his website today. All of a sudden, it was a music video, so I turned it off. I was like, forget it. But I know him. I could tell you 50 or 60 different things about Kanye West. But if I saw him at lunch at Joe's Farm Grill, and I walked over to his table, him and Kim just chilling, sitting there, and I sat down with my hamburger and sweet potato fries, and said, what's up, Kanye? Dude, you come here too? I'm so glad. Can you give me some ketchup? Hey, we'll be right here. I'm just going to catch up with Kim real fast because we go way back too. Kim, I know you, girl. I know your stepdad, Bruce Jenner. He was in the Olympics. I had a board game called the Bruce Jenner board game. I used to play it when I was 5 years old, but you probably knew that because we're tight, right? Kanye, how have you been? Where's my ketchup, man? Like, because we're tight, right? You can give me some ketchup. Well, Kanye, someone would have shot me by then. Like, some man in some tree would have been like, right? Because I don't know Kanye. I don't know Michael Jordan. I know a lot about Kanye. I know a lot about Michael Jordan. Like, you think you know Emma Watson? Like, some of, right? You're like, oh, I know her. I love her. Like, the fear is that we will know Jesus in the same way. Like, that you will settle for, like, a Wikipedia faith. When, and like, if this is real, like, the creator of the universe is inviting us to know him. Like, breathe that in. And that's crazy. That's either untrue or it's the best news of all time. And Paul's going, you can know him and then get to know him more and 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 get to know him more. Like, I don't know who you know. Like, I don't know who your best friend is. Maybe if you're married in the crowd, like, you think you know him. Like, you got him figured out. I bet they would go, nah, there's more. You just don't know yet. And how much more with the creator of the universe who invites us to step into our relationship with him, to know him and experience his power, that power to live a new life. So if your life isn't new, like, do you know him? Those two are connected. Do you know him in an intimate way? Do you know him in that way? And the only way you can do that, my friends, here's the practical application, is this word. Like, you can know him and experience him in so many different ways. And it's not limited to the word, but, like, are you kidding me? We have the word of God. Like, we have the word of God. We have one book. We have one book that has in it infinite riches, but you have, like, one book. So, like, maybe if you got, like, that ESV study Bible that's, like, 9,000 pages and you're intimidated by it, just go slowly through it. But for those of you that are, like, intimidated, like, I don't know, I just can't read that whole thing. You have the rest of your life to come to know this amazing, amazing book that speaks of our amazing God. And I would invite you every day to make time for it. That's the best way. Like, if you haven't made time for God's word, how do you know what he's saying? And God's word, he's still speaking through this thing. And we get to see who Christ was and who he is. And this, you're never going to go, oh, I totally got it figured out. every single day he invites you to know him more. So that's just a really simple message tonight. We've been invited to know Christ and his power, to tap into his power and experience it. I mean, do you believe it? And if you do, man, dive into it fully. So I'm gonna pray for you, we'll be done. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who was the living word and is still alive today. And he is still speaking, in a sense, these words, and they are still true today. And we can find life and beauty and all the mystery of God, as much as we can handle, we can find in this book. And if we gotten bored of a book, we don't even know what we're holding. Maybe there's just too many of them and we're just saturated with it. But God, tonight, I pray that we would see this as a treasure and dive into it. Maybe even for the first time, some of us would say, I've never opened this thing. I want to make this about you, and this is just one way to find you. I don't want to make it about a book that we worship. It's about a God that we worship who reveals himself in a book. What a gift to us. What a gift. So tonight, inspire us and draw us in to know you more. The way that Paul did. Help us be like Philippians 3. Help us to know you more tonight and tomorrow and the next day. In Jesus' name, amen.